I hereby call the Desert Community Energy Board meeting of May 19th, 2025 to order. May we have a roll call, please?
City of Palm Desert.
Present.
City of Palm Springs.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay. The next item, acceptance of the agenda. This time the board may discuss the order of the agenda, may amend the order, add urgency items, note extensions or no votes on consent calendar items, or request consent calendar items to be removed for separate discussion. I'd like to entertain a motion for acceptance of the agenda. Are there any items staff or a board member would like removed from the consent calendar for separate discussion?
None, Chair.
Okay. The next item is public testimony. This is the first of two opportunities to address the board. Any person wishing to address the Desert Community Energy Board on items appearing on this agenda may do so at this time. Is there any public comment?
Here we have no reported public comment on any agenda items.
Okay. Later. All right. Next, we go to discussion action item 7A, contractual services for customer service support. We have a staff report.
Can we just start with the executive director and the consent calendar? So just wanted to note at the last agenda, at the last meeting, we had shared an informational item that we had the rates had changed on the Desert Saver as of February. We promised an update, so we have not changed the rates since then. So I just wanted to make that clear, and that's all.
Okay. Sure. Any other board member comments? Okay. None by me. The next is the consent calendar. Make a big motion to accept the consent calendar.
I will make a motion to accept, but I do have one question on the data privacy and data security. Is there a cyber policy with DCERC bad?
Can you just repeat the question?
Does DCERC BAG have its own cyber policy, cybersecurity policy?
Yes, CBAG does. Sorry. We regularly have training and steps that we take to minimize that. And it's we get regular reminders to make sure all staff do that training. So it's taken very seriously.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Good. I will move for approval of the consent calendar.
Second. On favor?
Yes.
Aye. Okay, and consent calendar item passes. Next is discussion action items, 7A, contractual services for customer service support. We have staff report, please.
Sorry, I'm going the wrong way. Here we go. So, yes, thank you. So, DCE initially contracted with Calpine Energy Solutions in 2018 to provide data management and customer call center services, including around the support for our original launch and those mass enrollments that happened at that time. This means that Calpine works really closely on the data that's required for enrollment, for accurate billing. This is a very important part of the behind-the-scenes work that they do. And they're the ones who answer the call phone when a customer calls with a question or about their bill or their services. Calpine does this work for most other community choice aggregators, which means they manage the customer data and billing operations for over 5.5 million meters across California. So this existing agreement with Calpine, or the one that we have right now, was effective for 5 years through February. We began conversations last fall to enter into a new agreement. And while they were ongoing, DCE signed an amendment to the contract extending it through April. So I think we did this because I believe both parties had felt like there had been enough changes over the length of that contract to warrant a review of the provisions, and DCE's needs had changed. For example, in that original agreement, Calpine had also provided DCE with some upfront capital for startup costs like our outreach and marketing and a required bond with the CPUC, and that's no longer needed, but there's a later agenda item that also is related to that. So this new contract will improve communication between Calpine and DCE staff and ensure things like we're promptly notified when there are billing questions and any opt-outs by major commercial customers. One thing to do, and I can't do it right. There we go. So what? Oh, I am still doing this wrong.
I got it.
There we go. So what else has changed with this agreement? So in several areas, we really sort of cleaned up the scope of work. The scope of work part of the contract, it, as you may have seen, is a very extensive. It really lays out in detail what those expectations are, what Calpine provides to us, what the time frame is. And, you know, it looks at things like the electronic data exchange services, and to refine those service level. And it really more clearly states what the remedies are and what the cure periods are, although those vary by service. You know, there's a certain amount of time that Calpine has to rebuild. If there's inaccurate billing, that's different from how much time, you know, they have to respond to call center questions. It sets the term of the contract for 3 years with an effective date of May 1. So we'll be, when we start this one, we're looking to have it started as of May. There's a modest adjustment to the service fee. You can see that it's up 4.5%, but note that this fee has not increased since 2018, and we will be looking at annual cost of living or kind of relative adjustments as well. And interestingly, it establishes this community benefits grant program in the DCE service territory. So Calpine will rebate 2%, around $11,000 a year, of the annual data management service fees directly to local nonprofits. And this is to promote, there'll be a range of promoting economic development, maybe local project development, grid resiliency, and other areas that support the mission of DCE. And then just quickly before the recommendation, you know, the fiscal analysis, the cost for 1 year of these services would be approximately $565,000. So that's an increase of around $25,000 from the prior agreement. So again, it's a modest increase. And in addition, DCE is going to be providing $25,000 annually for a web-based cost comparison tool. So with that, the recommendation to authorize the executive director to execute the agreement with Calpine Energy is on the screen. I'm happy to take questions.
Any questions?
I do. I'm curious, because this is a substantial contractual service agreement, why we're not doing an RFP for this? Is there a reason for that? By the time we get through the extension being requested through, I think it was 2028, we're at 13 years without no formal bid process that I could see. And there are other entities. So I'm just curious why we didn't do that.
There's not another entity in the SCE territory that currently provides this. We did research. We know that there is one other vendor that currently provides similar services to a very small number of CCAs in the PG&E territory, but they're not down here yet. And there's a significant sort of time period to make those connections, to have those data transfers with SCE. I think, you know, we did do this as a three-year agreement to both, you know, to get those benefits of the community benefit grant, and we'll be looking into that as we look at other, you know, and look to do an RFP perhaps for that next go around, and can make a note that's a question that was asked. You know, it's, we did research, we know some other CCAs, even in the PG&E territory, had done an RFP and still selected Calpine on cost.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to talk to you.
No, for transparency purposes, I would just, I'm hesitant to have such a long agreement, but I understand what you're saying, that they're the only ones currently. I wonder if, do we have an exit clause in case someone else does come into the territory in the agreement?
I mean, there is a termination for cause, and that was a lot of what we made sure that we did the remedies in these service level areas, you know, matched up to that, so that we knew what that, you know, what those performance levels were, and when, you know, when, you know, there might be cause that could cause us to exercise that clause. But I think, I think it would be unusual to have one that, you know, just said if somebody else came in that we could do that. But, you know, because this work is so intertwined on a daily basis with what we do, in that 3-year contract, we have to give 6 months notice. And so to do an RFP, we would need to back up probably at least a year before that to make sure we had time to go through the whole process and perhaps give us even more time for a kind of a less painful handoff if we did select a different vendor. So I think, this will come up for staff soon. I mean, you know, quite quickly to be looking at this again.
Okay. I'm accustomed to seeing a cause for convenience in an agreement so that you have that opportunity in case it happens. It's a longer mm-hmm. term usually for convenience so that you can back into that. I'm not going to hold it up. Obviously, this is an important agreement, but in the future, I would like to see consulting services bid out so that we have that transparency.
Please. Yes. And yes, the question of a term for convenience was not something we were successfully able to put in.
Okay. Thank you.
It was, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Have the other companies in the PG&E territory expressed a desire to come in into our market, or have we approached them and they expressed a willingness?
The one that is there, yes, I do think is interested, and I've had some early conversations.
Okay, so this is something that we could potentially look at when the first 3 years is up.
Yeah.
And we would have to do that really within a year to start prepping for it.
Yes, I think so.
Okay, have we had any problems with Calpine?
You know, this is I think Calpine, it's in our service level agreement. In many cases, they have a requirement to have 99% or higher accuracy. So problems, you know, in a situation like this, when there's so many transactions, there are always, things that don't go right. I think it's been a long partnership. They were there with us early on through, you know, some really complicated times. I don't know if the vice chair, you know, may or may not be as familiar with that. And so, it's a valuable service that they provide for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to make sure we're getting the best possible. So, yeah. And how are they going to give out those rebates is that just at their discretion?
I realized as soon as I talked about that, I don't have that process here, but I can bring back an informational item as we know the timing of that. It's something they've done in other places. I do think it's a joint endeavor. Yes.
Okay. I think that would be helpful.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any further questions.
I do not as well. I will move for approval.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. It passes. The next item is the revolving line of credit renewal with River City Bank.
All right. Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Big Buck and Kevin. All right. Well, we're here to talk about some money. And it's really just sustaining BCE's operation. So I just want to jump into it. A quick reminder that right now we have an agreement with River City Bank. It's $8 million cash. And on top of that, $5 million for letters of credit. So we'll get into a little bit more specifics as we move along. And it is with River City Bank. They are out of Sacramento, and they've really been with DCE since DCE's inception, and they specialize in the CCA space. So most other CCAs, a lot of them use their services. And this original agreement that we're looking to renew goes back to 2022 with the SLAP herb around the world. And it was for a time whenever DCE was in its infancy. And it was DCE was needing working capital. It was actually, you know, something that we had to draw on finance staff working with the bank to draw on to sustain operations, really, because costs were rising. There's collections on moratorium, so it really came in at the right time. And the note back in 2022 was also guaranteed by the City of Palm Springs as is excellent credit quality, and we're able to get a cash infusion to draw on as we needed. And we did make draws on that line of credit for about a year's period. And like I mentioned earlier, that amount was for $8 million. And then a few months after we got the line of credit, there was a ruling where Southern California Edison, they have this financial security requirement calculation they do as the provider of last resort, that all the CCAs are required to post collateral more or less with SCE in case we cease to exist as a CCA. They would have to take on the customer load, and this would give them some liquidity to do that in that event. And that credit agreement was amended to that $5 million I mentioned earlier. So that's where we get the 8 and 5. And I wanted to point out that something miraculous happened, and it wasn't this Chinese spy balloon falling down, although it coincides with the time in February 2023 when DCE stopped making drawings on the line of credit. So that was a really big achievement for us. And so we used it for about a year, and we haven't had any drawings on it for, I guess, over 2 years now. So I think that's just something we wanted to point out to you. And you might be wondering, well, then why do we need to increase this agreement? And that's because of a couple things. One is that S&P Global Ratings, we know we got that credit rating from them. And there's basically two big metrics that they look at with DCE. That's the liquidity, which this affects, and then we've talked about, and we'll talk a little bit more about later, the fixed charge coverage ratios that they look at to see how much we're covering the costs. So as far as liquidity goes, they've expressed that they need to see DCE maintain and increase its liquidity. So by going from $8 million cash to $20 million, that committed unused line of credit counts favorably into DC's liquidity ratios. So that's a big reason that we want to show that we have more liquidity, because they'll do the adjusted days on hand. So the committed, unused line of credit counts towards DC's liquidity ratios. And also, we know that DCE is constantly looking into entering into new power purchase agreements and energy storage agreements, because we want to keep that fixed cost and, you know, at a level that we're aware of without, you know, fluctuation in the day-ahead market. So it would help us, because some of those agreements have requirements of the buyer, which DC would be in them, to post letters of credit or other types of collateral security. So all that to say, of course, we know that it's good to have a piggy bank to draw from, and this is kind of supplying that to DC as well. So for all those reasons is why we're asking for $20 million to renew the agreement, right? It's just a renewal for the dollar amount is the main things that's changing. And again, we'd ask the City of Palm Springs to guarantee that, as that's pretty much a requirement that River City Banks expressed due to the excellent credit quality of the city, it being the jurisdiction that DC serves loads to. It makes a lot of sense for them in this renewal to ask for that. And we anticipate that going to the meeting of the city on May 28th, which you get a thumbs up on. So we look forward to that. And so with that, I'll take some questions, but the recommendations to adopt the resolution for approving the Fourth Amendment to the credit agreement with River City Bank for an increased total amount not to exceed $20,000, and authorize the executive director and anyone else he works with to negotiate the steps to finalize that. And I did want to mention the agenda packet had a slight reference to a CPUC code that was mistyped. So it's the recommendation includes the correct CPUC code there. So happy to help answer any questions. Questions?
Thank you for explaining that, Claude. I have been trying to wrap my head around it since I read. So, in the simplest of terms, it's kind of like opening up a credit card so that you can facilitate these transactions and not use cash, right?
That's right.
In those same terms, when you use that credit card, it does make your credit risk or your liability greater. So how does that impact, say we use the full $20 million, how would that impact S&P's rating? Do we know?
I believe the only way that they would affect the rating is the unused portion, right? So if we do use it, it would not go into any cash on hand calculation that they do, because it's that wouldn't be part of the calculation. But it would depend what that was covering. Was it covering operating expenses? Because then that's, it could be another side of that calculation. So if the operating expense, if we were pulling the $20 million and actually using it for working capital, which we haven't done in over 2 years, and we don't anticipate needing to, because we have $27 million and a half in bank, DCE does not need. So I don't think it would affect the days liquidity on hand measure, because that ratio is the cash basically over your operating expenses for the last 12 months. So I guess the only way it would is if there was a run-up in expenses. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not operating. They're not counting it as one of your liabilities. It's
right.
Basically a placeholder.
Right. Now, it might affect another ratios, like you're thinking,
right,
like the equity to assets. Mm-hmm. And could affect that ratio. But I believe that you'd have to see where the other side of that liability was.
So
she probably had asset and probably a 1-to-1, so not affected.
If at any time we issue debt, that's when it'll come into play.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you said, thank you. Thanks. And you said we have $27 million in the bank right now?
Yes. There's a last page of your staff report should have the March, as of March 31st. DCE has a total of $27.5 million cash investments under its direction. There might be about $400,000 of that's restricted. We're holding that from a developer on one of the long-term agreements we have, but that is the case.
Okay. Is there something that specifically precipitated going from 8 to 20, or is it just because it was an option right now?
There's a couple things. I think for me, if you were to look at the same report at the end of your staff report, agenda packet, sorry, for the investment report as of June 30th, you'd see that amount was $26 million. So that's not a very big increase for 1 year, right? $1.5 million on 26. So I think one of the biggest reasons that we're asking for that is to show that increased liquidity with S&P, for S&P.
Okay.
And aside from that, there are these FSR requirements. While right now it's $147,000, the FSR was the financial security requirement with Southern California Edison I spoke about. So that one's, we have a letter posted for $147,000, but as Lisa well knows, they are filed with the CPUC an updated calculation, which might bring it up to $4 or $5 million again, or maybe $3 million is the last number we heard. They're constantly having errors in their calculation, but so those things are increasing. The more and more power purchase agreements we get into, the more we might need to issue letters of credit. And the fee on those is only 2.5% per annum, where you can get a return right now in CAMP, the California Asset Management Program, for I think 4.25 or so. So as long as that difference is there, it makes more sense to issue a letter of credit than to use the cash that we could earn the interest, the yield.
And what kind of updates do we get as to when and if the line of credit is used?
That's a great question. So we issue a quarterly outstanding debt report that has started since we've been using that. So it hasn't been in your agenda packet, but you definitely be getting it at least quarterly in that manner. You outline any cost of fees that we've paid for that usage for the year and the amount outstanding. Also in the financial statements, it's a footnote disclosure in there, and it goes into detail about what that outstanding balance at June 30th would be. So it would be at least quarterly, you'd be getting an outstanding debt report.
And this has been presented because the city office is guaranteeing it to our finance director and our...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm really ambitiously today, but not as... Oh, okay. But not as the city of Palm Springs yet.
Right. So the city will have to approve a separate document that's their guarantee.
Okay.
So it's somewhat separate than the promissory note that DCE gets and the credit agreement.
Right. But the resolution here specifically says that Palm Springs is guaranteeing it. That's attached, right?
I'm not sure if I believe it goes into the details of it. Well, so I would have to read the resolution to confirm that.
But it says pending approval, consent, and reaffirmation of guarantee from the City of Palm Springs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can agree to it.
Basically, the bank has expressed concern we'd have to work out the bank if the city weren't willing to give the guarantee.
Okay. But we already know they are. Okay.
Well, until the vote comes on May 28th, we'll be...
We already know they're predisposed to wanting to do it.
So. Right. I believe the city manager's aware, and the city attorney as well.
Okay. All right. Those are my questions. Thank you.
So it is a voting item.
Okay.
Okay. I will move to approve this item.
I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes.
Thank you for your consideration.
Okay. And the next is a fiscal year 25-26 budget preview.
That's right. It's a preview because a little less than a month from now, I'll be back in this chair, maybe that one, and I think you'll be right there, and I'll bring the full budget for your consideration and approval. But wanted to give you a little bit of update. We've been working on the budget really since the beginning of the year. I'd say November, December, we start looking at things. As you recall, in March, you approved the budget amendment. So we've only 2 months ago seen something related to the budget, and we'll see it again next month. Let's just jump into this. Check test.
Maybe went to sleep.
Oh, Quicker went to sleep. Or Kevin did. Which one was it? Okay, Quicker. So just a quick reminder, DC's fiscal year runs through July through June. Did you have what's that now?
French Bulldog.
French Bulldog.
Oh, I have two, yes.
You have two. So I'll put that side up there for you. And so next year, fiscal year 25-26, will actually represent DC's sixth full fiscal year of operations. And one of the big assumptions we make, and that is certain to be, is that Palm Springs is the only jurisdiction that DC is going to be serving a load to. We have our consultants. One of the big things Lisa and I actually had to work with recently for the load forecast. So they have to really look at temperatures and heat maps and understand what the load's going to be, because we know that is really the demand for our product, right? When people turn the AC down, that's whenever DCE's load is increasing, and it's a careful thing to monitor, and a big part of the budget assumption affects our revenue, obviously. We're also evaluating with our consultants different geopolitical events. We have the war in Ukraine, right? And you'd be surprised how that has affected storage capacity and things like that. So all those things are built into our financial model, including local political events with the trade war and some of the effects and costs that might have on batteries and things when we're entering into long-term agreements. Of course, we always have to monitor Southern California Edison. The board took action not that long ago, I think in the last meeting, to decouple some of our rate setting from a very specific measure, yet we have to maintain our customer base, and that's something that staff's very cognizant of. It's constantly evaluating the competitiveness with SCE, so that's a big factor into the budget, and we just received a filing, or SCE made their Energy Rate Recovery Act application filing. We got that last Friday, so we're having a big meeting, I think is it tomorrow or Wednesday, to go over that and see how that's going to affect these things' numbers or how we need to adjust things because of their what they're filing. Of course, we have to monitor the PUC and regulations from them. We know that they had the slice of day resource adequacy requirements that went into implementation this past year, proved fairly expensive for DC and all load serving entities. So watching things and including in our financial model, you know, does it make more sense to take a penalty from the CPUC or procure it at the market cost? So we have some internal metrics in our financial model that play into the budget for that. And then resource adequacy, I mentioned that a couple times, and renewable energy. We're monitoring the price curve on those. We have seen a little bit of let off in some of the recent highs for renewable energy certificates. They reached really record highs in the past year, but there seems to be some relief there. So that's something we're monitoring that plays into our financial model. And earlier I talked about S&P Global Ratings and how it affected our liquidity ratios. Another ratio that they look at is the fixed charge coverage, which is more or less, you know, how much is BCE's bottom line covering its fixed costs, like those power purchase agreements. And they're wanting to see at least a 2.0. So at least you're covering that two times is what they cost. So they want to see at least the 2.0 coverage. So that's a big assumption we're working with in our financial model to make sure that we're showing that bottom line covering those costs by the appropriate amount. And it's really helping us this year with our rate setting. Of course, I think back in December, the board authorized some special reserves. So the budget's going to detail the special reserves, and you asked for a 5 or 10 year coverage, but metric on there. And we can definitely do 5 years. And talking with our consultants, it's really not possible to do up to 10 years. So we'll make sure there's 5 years in there.
Thanks.
And the match for the city of Palm Springs. They have, I think, some upcoming codes that are hopefully going to be implemented. So DCE is going to be budgeting a match for customer programs, an incentive for those who don't know all the specifics of it, but maybe if they want to get an EV charger or some type of other energy efficiency type device that might help DC's load, also at the same time could be a good match opportunity for DC with the city. So those, and then the board, actually, that's one big thing. We're going to make sure that all board policies and rate setting objectives are met. So that's a big part of our budget build out too. So that were the few key things I wanted to highlight to you as we get ready for next month, and happy to take any advice or direction or questions at this time.
Questions or comments or advice?
I think you're doing a great job. when you speak of trade wars, I'm guessing you're talking about tariffs and the potential for tariffs. So once upon a time, Google was my best friend whenever something new was coming along, and now it's ChatGPT. And as soon as I, you know, type that in there along with CCAs, just tons of stuff came up. And so what exactly are you using, like some sort of contingency, or how are you? That's a really hard one to put a number on. So I just was curious.
I think the way we're concerned right now about it affecting DC is in those power purchase agreements, those long-term agreements. So we're doing everything we can right now. Next month, you might have one of these agreements coming here. And we've done everything we can to protect DCE from unwieldy price movement from the developers, but we're getting a lot of pushback, honestly. They're all trying to pass that on to the customer. So I think every battery that could be purchased by a developer comes from China, more or less. So there's not really a lot of room from there, but that's the main place we're seeing it, and is those long-term energy storage agreements where that costs. We've tried to mitigate as much as we can. Lisa, do you have anything to add to that?
You know, and I think it's not just us and the agreements we're putting into place. When it comes to the resource adequacy, you know, if the tariffs or the cost delay implementation of those projects, or if something else like the interconnection issues or deliverability delay them, and then all of a sudden we might have an impact in our budget, you know, in a different category, but that still might have as its root cause just some of that uncertainty. So, you know, around the cost of the RA and, you know, then all those other acronyms that are all tied so closely together.
And the Energy Authority, who does our financial modeling, you know, they're some of the best in the best in the business across the country, really. They support folks. And their financial model picks up everything in the forward curves and in the markets as an input into our model. So we feel really comfortable that they're capturing that stuff too.
As they can.
As best they can.
Got it. Thank you.
So it keeps changing.
Yes.
Another question, because in here, the assumptions see an up-down rate of 16%. into out of the desert saver. Mm-hmm. I mean, out of the as opposed to the carbon free.
Right.
Where is that historically the number, or is that where's that coming from?
It's about the historic number. That's a cumulative what it's been. I think we're at a little bit less than that. I think we were at. Was it 83?
I think it's actually a slight improvement, but it's hovered about there, best I know,
okay.
Around there. And that includes the carfare rates too, right?
Not too sure.
Oh, no, it does not. I take that back. That's just the opt-down to Desert Saver.
Okay. The incentive program, so those are not, how much is total are we allocating? Do we have any idea?
I believe the match the city was, do you want to speak to them about?
Sure.
Yes.
I think,
yes.
Should I speak to this, please?
And I think you'll remember to make sure that you can introduce yourself.
Hello, Lindsay Page McCoy, Director of Sustainability for the City of Palm Springs. Happy to be here. We're looking to do a couple of different programs around improving energy efficiency in homes tied to some potential REACH codes or other work to incentivize renovations, improving energy efficiency. So we're hoping to put, I don't really want to make news at this because you're going to see it on Thursday. We're hoping to put a decent amount of money into it. So we've requested somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 as a place, as an argument point to start from. So we'll see kind of where that ends. But the idea is that DCE would come in to match at about half of what we've requested.
I see. Okay. So DC is going to match half of that or match all of that?
To double. We have put in for all of it.
Okay, great. Thanks. I was like, I actually don't know the number, so I'm going to try to figure it out.
That's about right to what we have preliminarily put in the budget if that is working for you, Chair.
Okay. Yes. And this is, you're just looking at this now. This would be instituted within the next year.
Yes, over the next fiscal year. So we're hoping to kind of build out a program that would leverage, there are certain things that utilities traditionally rebate for and certain things that cities would traditionally rebate for. So it's easier for a utility or a CCA to look at things like an equipment rebate, like Claude was mentioning around an EV charger or a heat pump or something like that, whereas the city might look to leverage other programs that we have for things like improving insulation or looking at roofing and that kind of thing. So we're hoping to kind of combine those two things together so people can take advantage of one or both opportunities.
Okay. And just curiosity, it's going to come.
We'll learn more.
Residential or commercial or just residential?
The idea is to start with residential because that's what we're looking at in our code, and that's where we know we need to make the biggest improvements the most quickly to reduce our carbon emissions in our building.
Okay. True. And I guess for Claude, thank you very much.
Thank you, LP.
Yep, no problem.
And I guess for Claude, there's no major changes since the budget update last time and this time that we see.
Not yet. Nothing that's come up.
Okay. No surprises coming.
No surprises.
Month.
And if there are any, by next meeting.
We'll know. We will have to know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That is just information. Okay. All the rest is for information. My screen is very small, so it's a little bit hard for me to see. Okay, next is public comment on non-agenda items.
Chair, we do not have one comment.
Okay. This is the second of two opportunities to address the board. Any person wishing to address the board on items not appearing on this agenda may do so at this time. Please limit comments to 2 minutes. At the discretion, I know you have a bit longer. So I will let you follow talk to you all.
I do have a 2-minute version here. So.
Okay. Well, we have a full paper. And we'll be right here with it all. Give them the lead hand out.
I apologize for the hat. I've got some stuff going on with my head. Just a signal. Leave it at that.
Hello.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Donald Ziegler, and I'm a year-round resident of Palm Desert. I was thinking Mr. Kirk might be here, so I began by complimenting him and Mr. Martinez for getting the joint towers agreement in the East Valley past its first hurdles. I know you're all involved with that. So along with your work, along with their work with DCE, you have put yourselves, as well as the entire CVAG staff, in the position of defining how electricity will be delivered in most of the Coachella Valley for the next generation. In your positions, you will need to assure that electricity will be reliable and cost-effective for the next 50 years or more, when average temperatures will be 10 degrees hotter and the SoCal and IID grids are that much older. I contend that the existing delivery model is unsustainable for the next 10 years, let alone 50 years, and that a new model is needed. So as you proceed with the DCE and with the JPA, you need to think beyond how electricity is delivered now, but rather how it should be delivered to provide maximum safety and economic benefit for a far different future climate. I think one thing you should be looking at is how the entire Coachella Valley could be managed as a single electrical region with one service provider set up to deal with unique conditions here. I live in Palm Desert, which is kind of an odd personnel. As the JPA is put together and its DCE is further defined, the goal should always be out there that a single utility for the Valley, particularly the JPA, would be best. DCE should also structure itself so it can be easily rolled into the JPA if that became available. I realize the state is the overseer of what is possible and what isn't. But with the right representation in Sacramento from the Valley, state law can be changed if we can clearly request what we need to reach our goal. And I urge citizens' committees to be appointed to go with the JPA. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? Okay. Brings us to the end. The next DCE board meeting will be held June 16th, 2025 at 3 p.m. inside the same place, the large conference room at Palm Springs City Hall, 3200 East Topwoods Canyon Way, Palm Springs 9262. I hereby adjourn the meeting of May 19th. Thank you.